We're on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, and we're looking at the Gemara called Ika Beinayu Zar Shachal Truma, and this is going to be the Nafkamina between Abaye VeRav. So just to put our, you know, to make sure our heads are screwed on right, you know, are twisted in the right direction, we're talking about Rav Nechunya Ben Akana, and Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana has a major leap in Kim Lev the Rabbine, applying Kim Lev the Rabbine even to a case of Chayvei Krisus. The Gemara has a machlokus between Abai Varova. How does Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana derive that conclusion? And the Gemara is looking for nafkamina between Abai Varova. And the nafkamina is going to be Zar Sha'ochal Truma. So just to get the facts on the ground, we're talking about an Iser Misa Bidei Shamayim. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana himself was addressing the case of Kares. Misa Bidei Shamayim is one notch or half a notch lower than a Chiyuv Kares. Maybe it means that a Chiyuv Kares means you'll die before the age of 60. Maybe Misa Bidei Shamayim means you'll die sometime prematurely but past the age of 60. And the issue is, does Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana apply his principle of Kim Leid Rabbine even to a punishment that's a little bit lesser punishment than Kares, namely Misa Bidei Shamayim? So if a Zar eats Truma and he violates the Isur Zarus, that's an Aver Chamura, and the punishment for such an Aver Chamura is Misa Bidei Shamayim. And the Gemara says that in a case where while he was eating the truma, he incurred two chiyuvim. Number one, the zar is chayv misa b'dei shamayim for eating truma, and at the same time, he has to reimburse the kohen for the value of the truma. Now, again, the value of the truma is not exactly the same as the value of chulin, because chulin has a much greater supply, a much greater demand. But nevertheless, truma still has a value to it, and the kohen would pay money for the truma. Now his truma was taken away; it was stolen from him by a zar, and it was eaten. So the very moment that the zar eats the truma, he's chayav number one misa bidei shamayim, and number two, he is chayav to pay tashlume mamon to the kohen. So the Gemara says the following: will he pay tashlumin or will he not? Do we apply kimlei ravine or do we not? La abaye according to abaye potur ula rava chayev. So let's go backwards here. It's easier, I think, to explain la rava chayev. It's a little more challenging to explain why la abaye potur. La rava chayev because rava claims that the Torah has an exact equation between kares and Misa's Bezdin. And the Gemara says that equation is limited to Kares and does not apply to Misa Bidei Shamayim. Kares, the Torah says, is equal to Misa's Bezdin, meaning if the Shoftim down in this court do not implement the chi of Misa for whatever reason, maybe there was a technical reason they couldn't do so, or maybe they failed to do so, in that case HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a declaration, I'll mete out the Misa, and that's called Kares. So we have an equation now according to Rava between Kares and Misa's Bezdin, but that equation doesn't go as far as Misa Bidei Shamayim, which is a lesser punishment than Kares. Hence, in the case of Zar Shachal Truma, he's going to be chayav misa b'dei shamayim, and at the same time, according to Rava, he'll have to pay tashlumin to the truma, to the kohen. Why? Because this is not equivalent to kares, and it's not included under kim lev the rabbin. La abaye potter, meaning abaye is going to expand the scope of kim lev the rabbin according to Rav Nechunya to include even misa b'dei shamayim. And the answer is because according to Abaye, the derivation, the source for Rav Nechunya ben Akana is the word ason, and ason tells me any punishment bidei shamayim, whether it be kares or whether it be misa bidei shamayim. So that according to Abaye, we're going to apply the principle of kim lev deramine to this case in Rav Nechunya ben Akana's context, and hence he's going to be part of tashlumin. So the Gemara right away raises the following objection: Ulavaye potur. How could Abai say you're potur? Ve'omar Rav Chisda, Moder Rav Nechunya ben Akana, Begonev Chelbo Shel Chaver V'Acholo, Shehu Chayev. There's no Kimlev in the Rabbinah in case of somebody who steals Chelev. Now Chelev, keep in mind, is a Chiyuv Kares, but it's Mutar Banah, so it has a value. He eats the Chelev, and according to Rav Chisda, even Rav Nechunya ben Akana would agree in this case there's no Kimlev in the Rabbinah, and at the same time that he's Chayev Kares, he's going to have to pay for the Chelev of his friend. And the reason for that is Sharei Kfar Nischayev Begneva Kodem Shebali De Isa Chelev. This is the breakthrough of what we call Be'idna, meaning that we only apply Kimlev the Rabbinah if there's an absolute sink. And at one moment there is both the chiyuv misa, or in this case the chiyuv kares, and the chiyuv mamon. But here the chiyuv mamon preempts, as far as chronology is concerned, the chiyuv kares. Why? Because a ganav is chayv from the moment that he makes a kinyan, and from the moment he picks up the chelev of his friend for the purpose of stealing it, in this case for the purpose of eating it, he already incurs a chiyuv gneva. So that's what the Gemara says, that according to Rav Chisda Alma, we see from Chisda the me'idna from the moment the adbe, that he lifted up the chelev, kanye, he made a kinyan on the chelev, that's called a kinyan gneva. U'mischaya b'nafshalo havi, he doesn't incur a chiyuv of kares, Adi ochale, until he eats it. So he lifts it up and then he eats it. It's hachinami if we apply Rav Chisda's principles to the case of Zar Shochal Truma Bishoge, the Trumas Chavero, the Trumas HaKohen, then Be'idna the Agbe, from the moment that he lifted up the Truma, Kanye, he already effectuated a kinyan on the Truma, Mischayev Benafshalo Havi Adi ochale. But he's not going to be Chayev Misa Bidei Shemayim until he eats the Truma. And here's where the Gemara is going to introduce the element of Tochavlo, Chaver, B'Toch, Beis, Abilio, B'Toch, Piv, the different... All this is to achieve what we call Be'idna, to show how there could be an absolute simultaneity of both the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mamon, in order to effectuate Kimlei B'Dramami. Now yesterday, we began to analyze two issues that are not in the Gemara itself, but will shed a light on this Gemara with regard to Zar She'ochal Truma. Now we have to keep in mind the following, that there's a particular Kohen who is claiming or suing the Zar She'ochal Trumaso for damages, for the loss of his Truma. So here we have a question of the Achronim, which we began yesterday and hopefully we'll try to complete it today. And that is, why is it necessary for the Gemara to assume, Shalom Aleichem, to assume that the Truma belongs to a particular Kohen? Which means that the Zar was Mafresh Truma and then he delivered the Truma to his favorite Kohen. Now the Tzar ate the Truma, and it doesn't have to be the same person, right? But whoever it was, he was a Tzar, and he ate the Truma of the Kohen. That's the Gemara's assumption. So the Achronim want to understand, and this is the Kasha Daflo, why is it that the Gemara Zukimta here, the Kimlei B'Dramini, is a case where the Truma was already delivered to the Kohen. Why not say that the Yisrael, the Tzar, was Mafresh the Truma, and then he ate the Truma immediately after, it doesn't have to be immediately after, but in a short period of time after he was Mafresh the Truma, before such time that he delivered the Truma to the Kohen? And the issue here is, would there be a chiyuv mamon in destroying the truma of hafrasha kodem nesina, in that period of time, that shall we say, that frame, that opportunity in which there was already Afrasha, but there was no Nesina to the Kohen. And that would be Lechora, the subject of a Mishnah in Truma. So I'm going to ask you if you could do me a favor, and if I could trouble you to bring me a Mishnah in Truma. In this case, all I need is a Kahati. I don't need what they call Ayin Beis, just to get the simple pshat in the Mishnah in Truma. Now, if you have the photocopy of the Mishkanos HaRoim, you can turn, if you will, to page Kuf Chaf Hei. If you have one, you can make a picture of it. Yeah, so Chaf Hei we gave out yesterday. It's probably over there in the pile. But the truth is that really, I'm just reviewing what we did yesterday as an introduction to Kuf Chaf Vav, which is our subject for today. So I can, if you follow my overview of Kuf Chaf Hei, you'll be beseder, you'll be okay. The Mishnah in Trumas that we're referring to is actually on Kuf Chaf Vav. Do you have Kuf Chaf Vav? Oh, you don't even have Kuf Chaf Vav. How did that happen? Okay. You have Kuf Chaf Vav? Good. It's coming. It's coming out of the oven.
You need water?
Yeah.
Do I need something? All right.
So Rabosai, here's the kasha of the Baal Afla, and we'll emphasize the premise of this kasha. What about a case of a zar? Thank you so much. And maybe I can even trouble you to go further and open up the Perek Vav of Truma's Mishnah Beis, just for the sake of expediency of time. So the Afla wants to know, what's the deal with a zar that eats Truma before the Kohen was Zoch in the Truma? And would he owe any monies to, let's call it, again, we're going to get into this, so I'm just going to use a very ambiguous term, to Shevet Kohuna, like a kind of a partnership agreement in which all the Kohenim will get together, they will form a cartel, and they will appoint, you know, one Kohen to represent them, and he's going to demand payment for the truma that could have been given to any Kohen. So let me just just for the sake of using our imagination here, let's assume there were 10 Kohenim. The truma was worth 10 prutos. So that means each Kohen has one prutas worth in this partnership in the truma, until the Yisrael delivers the truma to one Kohen and he gets 100% ownership of that truma, all 10 prutos worth. And that excludes the other 9. But before the premise of that flow is that before the truma was delivered to the Kohen, all the Kohenim owned this truma, so to speak, in partnership. Don't ask me any questions about this until we get into it. I'm just sort of giving you a preview of coming attractions, but we're going to get into this whole question of shutvis. But if we assume that all the Kohenim are shutvis, it means that each Kohen has one prutas worth, again in our imaginary case, of this truma. They can form a cartel and claim that they want to sue that czar who ate the truma, because each one is a shutuf in a pruta's worth of truma. And the assumption is that in such a case we can apply king labor the rabbi. Now, the Sefer Afla says, I have an agenda here. I have a specific reason why the Gemara should have given my case. My case is better than the Gemara's case. In his kasha, right? Why is my case better than the Gemara's case? So he has a ravid. And the ravid is talking about hegdish, not about truma. And the hafla is going to make an analogy between hegdish and truma. What is the chiddush, the breakthrough of the ravid in Hilchas Me'ilah? The ravid says that in the case of Hegdesh, where a person was magdish something for Berek HaBayis, then at what point is he going to be chayav for Me'ilah? Now, normally, the answer to that question is Hagbah. What does that mean? just like in Gneva, when the Ganav lifts up the object for the purpose of stealing it, he's already Kone, and he's Chai for Gneva, and if the object gets lost or whatever happens to it, it drops dead, he has to pay for that. So too Me'ilo, which is also Gneva, but Gneva not from Hedjot, but from Hegdesh, the moment he lifts up the Hegdesh for the purpose of misappropriating it for his own purposes, he's Chai for Me'ilo. With all the repercussions, you have to be in Korban Me'ilo and so on. Yosef?
He has to have Hana of Shava Pruta.
And again, he has to have a Shava Pruta's worth and so forth and so on. But at what point is he Chaya for Me'ilo? For the point at which he lifts it up. Okay. Now, if he returns it to Hegdesh, you know, he never enjoys it and destroys it, that's fine. Then he's Potter. Okay. Now, says the Ravid, there's a fundamental difference between the following two cases. Case number one, where the Hegdesh, after the Balabais was Magdish, he delivered it to the Gizbar. He now is no Saint Liyada Gizbar. Case number two is when the Me'ilah took place before he delivers it to the hands of the Gizbar. And here's where the Ravid comes up with a breakthrough Shita. He says the following. That in the case where he is still holding on to the Hegdesh and he hasn't delivered it to the Gizbar, then it's as if he is like the Gizbar. It's almost as if his Yad is the Yad of Hegdesh. And he's only going to be Chayv in Me'ilah the moment he eats the, let's say if it's a piece of food, the moment he consumes it. Why? Because lifting up the object does not constitute taking it out of the Rishus of Hegdesh, because it never got into the Rishus of the Hegdesh. So that it's really Tachas Yodo means Birshuso. So the fact that he lifts it up, and you know, it's like taking it from one end to the other, he never takes it out of the Rishus of Hegdesh. Says Afla, that same distinction will apply to Truma. In the case of a Zar, if he delivered the Truma over to the Kohen, and now the Truma is in the Rishus of the Kohen, the moment that the Yisrael, the Zar, lifts up the Truma for the purpose of taking it for himself, he's a Ganav, he's stolen the Truma. But if he hasn't yet delivered the Truma, and it's still Tachas Yado, then says the Afla, applying the principle of the Ravid and Me'ilah to the case of Truma, the Truma hasn't left his Rishus. At what moment will the Ganav, right, the Zar, be Chaya for Gneva? Only at the moment that he eats the Truma. Before he eats the Truma, he's just bouncing the Truma around from one hand to the other for whatever purpose, even though he intends to eat it. But he never actually is Motzi Mirshus Abaylin. Mirshus, in this case, the Shevet Kahuna. So he's only going to be chayav midin azar shachal truma to pay the kohen as a ganav or shevet kahuna as a partnership only at the moment that he eats the truma. So why didn't the Gemara, says the Afla, give this example where the Zar ate the Truma the very moment that he was mafresh it before he delivered it to the Kohen? Now we have perfect simultaneity between the Chiyuv Misa Bidei Shamayim for Zarus and the Chiyuv to pay Tashlume Truma. Because according to the Ravid's principle, he's only going to be Chayav Tashlume Truma after he eats the Truma, but as long as he's holding on to the Truma Be'en, there's no Chiyuv Ganav here, because it's still in his own, in his Rishus. It's like Yad, you know, it's like Yad HaMafkin Ki Yad HaShomer Domi. It's like a Shomer on behalf of the Kohenim. So the Gemara is going to reject this Nafkamina based on Rav Chisda, and the Gemara is going to say, Hachanami here too, Be'idna the Agbe, from the moment that the Zara lifted up the Truma, is Kanye, he makes a Kinyan and a Chiyuv Tashlumin, but Meschai, Benafshalavi Ad the Ochale, we're going to have to wait until he eats it, and therefore there's no Gimli Ravini. This could not be a candidate for a Nafkamina as far as Rav Nechudi Ben HaKonis. So the answer is Nain. We're talking about a case where the Yisrael, the Tzar, was mafresh the Truma, he did not deliver the Truma to the Kohen. Now when he eats the Truma, and only when he eats the Truma, is he chayv for Gneva. He cannot be chayv for Gneva beforehand because the Truma is considered to be in the reshus of the Tzar. That's the Balaf law. It's mamish unbelievable how he puts together all these premises. And here, in order to answer his question, he quotes a sugya in Chulin, which is called Mamon She'ein Lo Tovim. Now, Mamon She'ein Lo Tovim is not a case of Shutfim. Meaning, Mamon She'ein Lo Tovim means that there's no one who could come and claim that he, you know, a lawsuit that he was damaged or he was, you know, he was the victim of theft. And in this case of Truma, before the Truma was delivered to the Kohen, Dafla wants to make this major breakthrough, and he says that there's no Chiv Tashlumi Mohan. The reason why the Gemara could not have possibly given his scenario as a candidate case for the Nafka Bina between Abaye and Rava is because there is no Chiyuv Tashlum, because there's no one who can be Tovea. In other words, he doesn't want to define the ownership of Shevet Kahuna as a partnership agreement. Because if that be the case, it's Mom Sheyesh Lo Tovim. You know, if let's say we were all partners in ownership of something and it was stolen or it was damaged, we can simply appoint one of us to, or appoint a lawyer to represent us, and we could be Tovea's partnership. Nein, says the Sefer Trumas. Again, this is Berzon talking. I don't know if this is, I'm saying says Tafla. This is Berzon talking. I don't know if this is what Tafla means. But if Tafla is equating the Sugi of Mom Sheyesh Lo Tovim with Truma before it was delivered to the Kohen, then he's assuming that the ownership of the Truma is not a partnership deal, but rather it's this new entity called Shevet Kahuna. Are you with me? Because if we're talking about a partnership of all the Kohenim in the world at any particular time, then that's considered Mamon Sheyesh Lo Tovim. Any one of us could be Tovea, our Chelik, or we can all jointly be Tovea as one cartel, and that would be Mamon Sheyesh Lo Tovim. So again, do you have Kuf Chaf Hey or not? I mean, I'm not, I don't want to. So if you take a look on the top left column, he says, actually the last line on the right column, Tiritz HaFlod, the Ochel Chumashal Zochab HaKoin, Eino Chayef Min Adin L'Shalim. Why? Because it should be comparable to the case of Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Omid Beis, which is called Mazik Matnos Kahuno Sha'achlam, Potter Milashalim, and the Gemara suggests, according to at least one Lishna, the reason for this is Mishum Dahavile Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. And therefore, just like in the case of Matnas Kahuna in general, if we apply this to Truma as one of the cases of Matanas Kahuna, therefore, Truma becomes Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. And if it's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, then there's no Tashlumin. Again, we could talk about Chayav Lotzis B'dei Shammai, but at least as far as Ikar Adin is concerned, you have no case to a lawsuit to sue in the case of Truma before it was delivered to any particular Kohen. Hence, there would be no Kim Lev the Rav Minei. Okay.
He has a chiyuv to pay just to
B'din Shamayim. Is that what you mean? We can't force him to pay.
Maybe he actually has a chiyuv, not just B'din Shamayim, but it's not, there isn't any particular person to whom he is chayiv to give it.
So again, we can say one of two things. We could either say that all of Shevet Kahuna could appoint one Kohen, and he has to give the Truma or the value of the Truma to that one Kohen if he ate it before Messina. Or we could say no. This is called Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. There is no particular Kohen who owns this Truma. The Truma is owned by this abstract ownership called Shele Kuhuna. It's not a private ownership of X number of Kohanim, making up the amalgamation of all the Kohanim that exist in the world at any particular moment, but rather it belongs to this entity. I just want to say a few words to Yechiel here. Do you remember Yechiel when we spoke about the Rugged Shava way back when? That was a long time ago. So the Rugged Shava had a distinction between what he called Harkava Shechinit and Harkava Mizugit. So again, I think John, you were there too, no?
I don't remember, but
okay, but in it, if you were there, I'll just give you everybody else can close their ears, you don't have to listen to this, but just a 1 minute reminder. Harkava Shechinit, again, I forget exactly how he pronounces it, but Shechinit means that each and every one of us have our own individual status in halacha, and we just join together. So it means that the whole is just the sum of its parts. And then he has something called harkava mizugit, in which there is no individual status to any particular item or person, or you know, he has many different cases, but rather there's this new entity that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It's like this new entity. Just to remind you. So what I'm doing here, again, this is my own
difference between a mixture and a compound.
Okay, a mixture and a compound. Okay, that sounds good. A compound is what in chemistry, you mean?
Yeah, it changes its.
I have a suspicion that a compound is also a mixture, but in a case of a compound, can you break it down to its individual parts?
No.
Oh, you can't?
Compounded.
So you can't split the atom, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the atom, he actually quotes the atom, if I remember correctly, the Rabbi Chovel. That's a harkava mizugit or mizgit. So I'm just saying here, you can yesh lacha. What's the status of truma in terms of its ownership before it was delivered to any particular Kohen? Do we view all the Kohanim in the world as Shechinim? You know, they're all participants in this one partnership, this gigantic company, which is made up of many different owners. And by the way, the Rugged Shavah has a whole chakir about companies. This is no Geamam Shtachomitz and so forth, the Chomitz Shavah Pesach, where they're a company. What's it called? LTD? Is that what it's called? You know, if you have a company, is that called a Harkava Mizgid? Or is it a Harkava Shechinit? Okay, I don't want to get off on a tangent here. I was just mentioning it because I saw some familiar faces here today that reminded me of those good old days when we were studying the Rugged Shava. Anyway, so he says the following. You might argue that in the context of the Gemara in Chulin, regarding Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, there is still a chiyuv b'bal latzei sidei shamayim. And he says the following, that would not be relevant to our sugya here, because according to Abaye, if we apply the principle of, which one is Abaye? Yeah, if we're going to apply, according to Abaye, the principle of Kim Lev D'Rabamine, then in this context, of Rav Nachunya ben Akana, it would apply equally to both the Chiyuv B'dinei Adam and the Chiyuv B'din Shamayim. That's because, again, we're going to the Chiyuv Ben Akona, where the whole thing is a discussion about Din Shamayim. That because of the Din Shamayim, he's Potter. And if in Din Shamayim makes him Potter, then that's Potter even in Balat Sidei Shamayim. So I'm just pointing that out as a kind of a footnote. Okay. Now we want to see a Mishnah in Trumas. So the Mishnah says in Trumas, Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis, Bas Yisrael, Sha'ochla Truma, V'acharkach Niseis L'Kohen. So let's again, the Mishnah is going to divide up into a few different scenarios, but let's take the following scenario. This woman is a Bas Yisrael. She ate Truma, and she has to pay for the Truma. That's the subject of this Mishnah. Well, what happens when she marries a Kohen? Once she marries a Kohen, she now can eat Truma. On a Daraisa level, even with Erisin, it's enough. That's called Kinyan Kaspo. But the Rabbanu made Xera that we wait until after Nisuin, right? Because of different reasons, the Gemara gives two different shitos about that. So it's a funny kind of case. If she hasn't paid for the Truma, well, now she has rights to the Truma. Can she just pay herself, so to speak? So the Mishnah says the following. Im truma shelo zacha ba kohen achla, if she ate the truma before the truma was delivered to the kohen, mishalemes keren v'chomesh liatzma, she pays herself. I mean, again, if you take the Mishnah literally, which really means she doesn't have to put it from one hand to the other, but she doesn't have to pay because now she has rights to truma. But the im truma shezocha b'kvar kohen, if she ate truma that was already delivered to the kohen, then she has to pay kem v'chomish to the kohen himself. But we now have a window through which we can get a perspective on truma before it was delivered to the kohen. Under what circumstances is a zar exempt from paying for truma, for achilas truma that was not delivered to the zar? In what scenario?
To the Kohen, I'm sorry.
In what scenario?
No, there's
of a woman
she
who gets married to a Kohen.
No, she still has to pay. She has to pay herself. It's not to her to pay.
Okay, you're even going a step further. But let's say that the Mishnah is using a hyperbole here. You know, the Mishnah means that she doesn't have to pay because she gets the truma. What happens if she didn't marry a Kohen? Clearly the Mishnah would say that she has to pay care of a Chomesh. Do you follow? The Mishnah is saying that she doesn't pay care of a Chomesh to anyone but herself because now she married a Kohen. But implying that if she hadn't married a Kohen, she would certainly pay Karen V'chomesh. And now, again, we'd have to ask the engineering question, to whom does she pay Karen V'chomesh? But be that as it may, she certainly pays Karen V'chomesh. So that the assumption, the premise here of the Baal Afla, that just like the Sugya and Chulin establishes with regard to other Matnas Kahuna that is called Mamet Shein Lo Tov, and we can apply that to Truma as well, that's contradicted by an Ofen of Mishnah. The Mishnah is black and white that there is payment for Truma even if it wasn't delivered to the Kohen. The Mishnah only has a very strange or exceptional scenario in which the woman is paying herself because she got married to a Kohen, but in the absence of that she would certainly be paying Karen V'chomesh for the truma that lo zocha ben hakohen. Take a look at the Mishnah. I didn't write the Mishnah. So what I want you to do now is to take a look at the tzlach. This is a fascinating chiddush of the tzlach. Were any of you gentlemen with me when we learned psachim here in this room? I always get confused if it was the earlier class or the later class. Yeah, you were here?
Yeah.
The last sugya, or almost the last sugya, maybe it was the last sugya that we learned in Psachim, was the sugya of what's called Trumas Chametz. So you have a case of Truma, and it's also Chametz, meaning you were machas Truma from, let's say, a piece of Chametz. And now the Tzar eats this Trumas Chametz. And the question is, how much should he pay? And l'chor, the answer is he pays zero because chametz is also ba'al no'ah.
It has no value.
And it has no value because nisuri had no any mama. So to our surprise, the Mishnah in Pesachim says that our ochel trumas chametz v'pesach mishalim keren v'chomesh. So affecting Gemara, what do you mean mishalim keren v'chomesh? What value does trumas chametz have when chametz is also ba'al no'ah? Eli, you tell me, wait till after Pesach. Well, after Pesach, it's Chomish Ovalovas, Ovalov and Pesach. It's still Osirvando. And according to one Tana, that's still Raisa. So, how then can the Mishnah establish that he pays for Trumas Chomish? So, the Gemara wants to prove from this that when you pay for Truma, Karen for Chomish, you pay Lefi Mida, not Lefi Domin. So the Gemara says, but what are we going to do with the man, the Omer, who says Lefi Domim, which means that basically Tashlume Truma of Karen V'chomesh is a Chiyuv Mamon, not a Chiyuv of Truma to replace the Truma physically, the volume or the weight of the Truma, but rather it's a Chiyuv Mamon. So the Gemara introduces Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that Chometz is Mutabano. Chometz and Pesach is Mutabano. So the Pnei Yeshua says that's really a dochak to say that a stam mishnah is like Rav Yossi Aglili. We never found a stam mishnah like Rav Yossi Aglili. Chometz is a classic Isra Ano. Frek the Pnei Yeshua, why do we need Rav Yossi Aglili? He says the following. Amaylo mukminin lo, this is on the very top of Kucha Vav, be ochal truma shebloba adayin lidei kohen. The truma was eaten, it's chametz, before it was delivered to the kohen. And the Gemara later on in Pesachim quotes Rabbi Yoshua that in such a case there's no valyura by yimotze. Rabosai, what does this mean? Harkavad mishnit shchunit or harkavad mizugit? If partners own chametz on Pesach, do they violate valyura by yimotze?
Yes.
You bet they do. How could it be, says the Pnei Yoshua, that the Gemara assumes that there's a chiv to pay for this truma, and the problem is that if it's Isuri Anah, there's not Mamon, so we have to introduce Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who holds that chametz is Mutar Anah. Forget about all that. Why not assume that the truma wasn't yet delivered to the Kohen, and in such a case, we're going to apply the principle of Rabbi Yoshua, that there's no violation of Al-Yurah by Yimotzeh. Because Truma, before it's delivered to the Kohen, is not Harkavah Shechnit, it's not partnership, but it's not owned by anybody. There's no ownership. And that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Yeshua in Pesachim Chavav, that Truma, if there's no ownership, because it wasn't delivered yet to the hands of the Kohen, is not a violation of Al-Yurah by Yimotzeh. Hence, the Truma has value. Because just wait till after Pesach and sell it on the open market. Again, during Pesach, it's also by Noah. So you'll tell me, well, Isuri Anah in a moment. So how can you tell, according to my Yom Lefi, Dami Mishalim, how can the Mishnah say he has to pay Karen V'chomet? The answer is, it might not have any value today, but it has value tomorrow. Because I wait till after Pesach, and there was no violation of Al-Yurah by Yimotzeh, Memela, he could sell it on the open market. He could eat it himself after Pesach. Because again, Chametz Shavuot of Pesach only applies to what? To Chametz that was subject to the violation of Al-Yurah by Yimotzeh. So this is a brilliant cash of the Pnei Yoshua. And the Pnei Yoshua is going to insist that that Truma, before it was delivered to the hands of the Kohen, it's not owned by anyone. Hence, there's no Bayurah, according to Rabbi Yeshua, on Daf Chavav. And therefore, its value, it has a value after Pesach. And now we have a beautiful understanding of the Mishnah without having to introduce Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Chametz for Pesach is Osir Banah. Don't you doubt that for one moment. But after Pesach, it's not Osir Banah. Why? Because it was Truma before it's delivered to the Kohen. And there's no Bailus for Bayurah by Yimotzeh. And therefore, it's got domim, it's got value. It's mutar banoy after Pesach.
So right, they don't both know that it's mizugit like...
The tirets hatzlach, so that tzlach answers the kash of the Pnei Yoshua. I'm not sure historically how much of a difference I think they were contemporaries, I'm not sure, but you have to look that up. Anyway, if not, the tzlach is very, very quickly after the Pnei Yoshua, maybe 50 years later. And he says the following. The truma shelo ba lidei kohen eino mechuyev v'tashlumim b'dinei adam mishum davi le'imamin shein lo tovim v'rak lotzeis yidei shomayim mechuyev in kain lo nicha sefer demasnisen. The other part of the Mishnah, we only read the Reisha, says that b'meizid potem v'tashlumim u'mitvei eitzim the afal gav de mukminen leik rab nechuni ben hakonin de potem mishum kimle ben rab minei. He says mikol mokom kimle rab minei eino poter chiyuv lotzei sudei shomayim. So that's the chiddush of the tzlach. So he says the following, mevur bidvarov, the gamma ochel shogeg, bishogeg, truma, because again, the ratio of the Mishnah in Pesachim is talking about a case where he ate it bishogeg, correct? He ate it bishogeg, just one second. Right, he ate it bishogeg, that's the case in the ratio. Shalo zacha bakoin, potu l'shali min adin. Mishum dahavi le mamon she'ein lo tovim. Okay, so now we're viewing the truma as if it's not a partnership, but rather it's owned by this entity called Shevet Kahuna. And if that be the case, there's no violation of Bal Yirah Vayimotze. Hence, we have the Shita of Rav Yeshua, and we're going to have to introduce here the Chiyuv Lotzei Sidei Shamayim. So we'll hold on to Lotzei Sidei Shamayim for a minute. He says the following: if this be the case, Tzarech Iyun Gadol Dilehedja Tnan Bitrumos Perik Vav Bishne Beis Bas Yisrael Shalach LeTrum Yachak Nisis LeKohen Im Truma Shalos Zachav Kohen. Achla, if she ate truma before it was delivered to the Kohen, Mishalem is Karen V'chomishli Atzma Mivuar. We see clearly from the Mishnah, the Heichah Shalom says Mishalem is LeKohen V'lo Patrin in law Mishum Davi Momen Shein Lo Tovim. The Mishnah clearly assumes that even before the truma was delivered to the Kohen, it's not considered Momen Shein Lo Tovim, but rather she has to pay for the truma. And not only that, the Rambam codifies this in the 10th Perek of Trumas. The Heichel Shalom is Spikol Lashalim Achin is Garsha, Einem is Shalem is Liatzmo. She's no longer married to a Kohen. Varehi Kemishalom Nisais Lekohen Mi Olam. Okay, that's the Chiddush of the Rambam, that even though at one point in time she was married to the Kohen, now she's divorced. In such a case, the Rambam says she has to pay for the Truma. So that what do we do with a Mishnah in Trumas, which is paskened up by the Rambam, that clearly indicates that you have to pay for Truma, even though the Truma was never delivered to the hands of the Kohen. Which means that it's not considered like Mamon Shein Lo Tovim and it belongs to some abstract entity called Sheva Kahuna, but rather it's defined as Shutvos. V'hasa Mayri, b'chiv tashlume Truma, min adin, v'lorak chiv, latzeis l'dei shamayim. So we now have a clear-cut proof from a Mishnah and a Rambam that the status of Truma, even before it's delivered to the Kohen, is equal to what? To Shutfis. It's evil. It's Moman Sheyesh Lo Tovim. They can come forward and they can sue for damages. And if that be the case, then we're really in trouble with the answer of that flaw that we had in the previous page, because that flaw wanted to assume that Truma before it comes to the hands of the Kohen is Moman Shein Lo Tovim. Hence the Gemara couldn't have used that as a case of Kimlei Deramini, because there would never be a Chiyuv to pay for such Truma. The Mishnah seems to say explicitly, or at least by very strong implication, that there is a Chiyuv to pay for the Truma. So at the end of this presentation he says, Al Karchach Tzarech lechalek bein ochel b'mezid levein ochel b'shogeg. We're going to have to assume a distinction between two scenarios. The scenario of the Mishnah in Trumos, as opposed to the reisha of the Mishnah in Psachim, is a case of mezid. So she, as a zar, was guilty and deliberate about eating truma. The case of the Mishnah in Psachim, on the other hand, is explicitly a case of shogeg, right? Ochel trumas chomitz v'pesach v'shogeg mishalim keren v'chomitz. He doesn't develop exactly how to differentiate between the two, because again, if our main issue is going to be, well, what's the status of the ownership of truma before it's delivered to the Kohen, l'chorot should be irrelevant, independent of the issue of whether it was b'mezid or b'shogeg. In either case, it should be the same, we should come to the same conclusion. So he writes the following: Umatsanu Bachronim Kamatamim Behada Ochel Bishoge Truma Shalozachaba Kohen Eino Niftar Midina Mazik Matnos Kahuna Osha Ochlan. He's going to now give some sort of explanation as to why, in the case of Shogeg, before the truma was delivered, just one second, he's going to have to pay for it. Ah, so now he's assuming the following, that in a case of mezid, just one second, no, the mathematics doesn't work out for me, just one second. In the case of mezid, wait, let me just try for a moment if I could switch around the mathematics here for a minute and see. I don't know where this is going to take me, but let's go back to our sugya. our sugya is the case of Zar She'ochel Truma, correct? And let's say Bepashtus, the case is She'ochel Truma B'mezid. Oh, in the case of Ochal Truma B'mezid, then we're going to say that it is Mamon, just a second, that's considered what? So the Hafla is going to say that what? It's Mamon She'ein Lo Tovin. Oh, so it's Mamon She'ein Lo Tovin. So again, let's, for argument's sake, again, Rabbi Osai, if you could bear with me, maybe the Mishnah in Trumas is talking about Shogeg. Can you look that up, Yosef, if it says anything about Shogeg there? But anyway, let me just operate with
Shogeg.
Oh, it does say Shogeg.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Hati says immediately.
Oh, okay, great. That's good news for me. You know, Yosef, I owe you a debt of gratitude. You made my day. Okay. So if that's a case of Shogeg, then we go back to the Haflah. The Haflah is going to identify Truma Shalo Yigil Liada Kohen as Mamon She'ein Lo Tovim. And in a case of Mezid, we're going to talk about a case of Mezid, and we're going to assume that in Mezid, since it's Mamon She'ein Lo Tovim, there's no Tashlumin, there's no Chiv. Hence, the Gemara couldn't have given that scenario of Truma Shalo Shadain Lo Nitno Liada Kohen as an afkamina for Kimle the Rabbini, because there's no Chiv Tashlumin in the case of Mezid. Oh, what are we going to do now with the case of the Mishnah in Trumas, where there is payment for Truma that wasn't delivered to the Kohen, had she not married a Kohen, right? That's a case of Shogeg. So he says, why in the case of Shogeg, Shadayin lo Zochabal Kohen, why don't we apply the principle of Bama Chein lo Tovin? There should be no one to claim payment. You already have an answer to my question, Yosef. No, but what do we have the question here? We've proven from this Mishnah Lechora that Truma, before it gets to the Yad Kohen, is Mamon She'eish Lo Tovin, correct? Because we saw that she's paying for it. But we just finished saying, no, the Hafla is right, that in our sugya, it's Mamon She'eish Lo Tovin. So we're going to say the following, that the Hafla is talking about a case of Mezid. The Mishnah is talking about a case of Shogeg. Now, we understand Bishlema, in the case of Mezid, the Hafla is saying it's Mamon She'eish Lo Tovin, right? We call it some sort of ownership that rises above Shutfus. It's an abstract, you know, up in Shemayim kind of ownership, and therefore there's no Chiv to pay for such a thing. But then, paradoxically, in the case of Shogeg, we're going to be more Machmir, and all of a sudden we're going to consider it as Mamon She'eish Lo Tovin, and you have to pay for it.
The Lush and the Mishnah imply Shogeg?
I don't know. Let me just work. If you give me a minute just to work through the mathematics, and then you'll figure it out. He says the following. V'yesh Omrim, do you have it?
Kati says Shogeg.
Yeah, but no, he must have gotten it from the Yerushalmi or from the Rashmi Shans. I don't know. That part of the answer I can't give you. But I just want to see if the Cheshvan stimmed over here, and then we'll get to the nitty gritty details. And he says the following, Yesh Omrim, Datam, why is it that all of a sudden in Shogeg we're going to say he has to pay? Mishum de Shogeg Betruma Hatashlumim Hey Mishum Kapara. This is a new breakthrough, at least for me. We were assuming until now that the whole issue is a Choshe Mishpat issue. You know, there's can the Kohen or the joint Kohenim, can they come and claim, well, the Truma was worth 100, pay me 100. He's saying no. The Kohen is going to benefit from something else, not from Choshe Mishpat, but rather from Kapara. The Torah gave the Ochel, the Zara Ochel, an opportunity to achieve Kapara. And how? Because of the Shogeg, the Torah says to the Ochel that, you know what, if you deliver this payment to the Kohen, or maybe even to the joint Kohenim, right, because we're talking about a case before the individual Kohen received the Truma, then you will achieve Kapara. The Lachen, Af Al Gav de Betruma Lo Zoch, Af Betruma Shalo Zochaba Kohen. Oh, this is what I like. She'ein, I have to underline this. She'ein bo chiyuv midin gezel. Ein bo chiv midin gezel or mazik, right? In other words, I would, in my language, I would write ein bo chiv midin choshen mishpat as a din moment. Ika chiv mishum kapara. And the Torah is giving the Zara here an opportunity to achieve kapara. By the way, what would sort of indicate that that might be true? The Chomesh, right? Because where do we find Chomesh in Dini Mominus? The whole entity of a Chomesh, what world does it come from? It doesn't seem like it comes from the world of Dini Mominus. I'm just making that comment. I don't know if it's an appropriate comment or not. But this so much reminds me, again, today I'm having a lot of deja vu, maybe because I haven't seen Yechiel in a while since your son's bar mitzvah. But in any event, so I have another deja vu. Do you remember the sugya of Bittul and Chometz? And the Ramban's chiddush was that Bittul and Chometz has nothing to do with Dini Mominos. It's Havkash Shem Chometz. That was the language of the Ramban. You know, the Ramban preceded Rav Chaim Brisker by about 800 years, but he had the Brisker lingo. And that's what he writes. That through Bittul, he's being mafkir the Shem Chometz. So Bittul does not come from the world of Choshen Mishpat, and the Ramban is like five riots that it can't be Choshen Mishpat, you know, this Bittul is not Hefker, and so forth and so on, against the Bali Atosis, but rather it comes from the world of Arachayim. Arachayim means that Chometz has a special status on Pesach, and you can remove that status through Bittul. Here also, what we're seeing is that the Tashlume Truma, in the case of Truma that didn't yet reach the hands of the Kohen, is a different kind of a Tashlumin. It's not a Tashlumin that's rooted in the Choshen Mishpat and Mominus, because again we're talking about Truma before it came to the hands of the Kohen, it's Mamon Sheng Lo Tovim, is therefore it has to be a Kapar of sorts. V'yeshma farshim ha'adam ha'asik mat neskun ha'potam yishum da'avim Mamon Sheng Lo Tovim ha'tam yishum de Mamon Sheng Lo Tovim ika chisaron bedin bailus shal Mamon. So again, until now we've been assuming that the reason why you can't sue, nobody could sue, even a representative of the Kohen can't sue for damages of Truma before the Truma belongs to one Kohen, is because it is not Mamon HaShutfim. But now he's taking a different approach in the name of the Yesh Mefarshim. Again, we'll see in the footnotes who that is. They hold that Mamon HaShefet equals Mamon HaShutfim. So we got to drop the entire discussion over here. We have to figure out why is it that in Mamon HaShutfim we should consider it Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. Well, what do you mean Mamon Shein Lo Tovim? If Mamon HaShevet is Mamon HaShutfim, that is classic Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. So he says the following: Ela Kol Zeh Hu Hecha Shachefetz Be'en Aval K'sha'achlo Ziko Al Chiv Dovim Leka Din Shutfis. Wow. As long as the Truma is a Cheftishal Truma, it's a vibe, right? It's an object, that it's Truma, right? It's there, you can touch it, it's tangible, it's edible. Then we say it's Mamon HaShutfim, and the Shevet Kuna is all about a Shutfim. But once it's eaten, then the Shutfis is gone. The Shutfis dissipates, goes up in smoke. But now he's going to have to introduce Pachas Mishav and Pruta. So my imaginary case where the Truma was worth 100 and there were 100 Kohanim, this Mefarish, which again I think he's going to tell us here, number Shin, who that is, we'll just give him a name here, Zosli Yehuda, again, Yechiel, you can look that up. I think I once knew who he was. I think he was a contemporary. And he's not alive today, but, you know, he lived in the last century. But anyway, so the Zosli Yehuda wants to suggest that we have a real interesting technical issue here in Truma that hasn't been delivered over to the particular Kohen. There is no single Kohen that owns a Pruta's worth of that Truma.
Because there are too many Kohanim and not enough Truma.
Right. Do you see how it says, Kevin she'eino ola l'chelkel shall call Kohen shava Pruta? Mm-hmm. Right? Shall call Kohen Shava Pruta, ain't kan din mamon. So this is a fascinating question. What would be if you had shutvis of a million people such that not one single person in that shutvis could have a Shava Pruta? would that become Mamon Shein Lo Tovin? The Vizos Liud is saying yes. If you would ask me, I would say no. Intuitively, I don't chaf what he's saying here. I know what motivates him and what compels him, because why should it be Tashlumin if it hasn't been delivered to the Kohen and he and I'm sorry, why is it that there's no Tashlumin and it's called Mamon Shein Lo Tovin because it hasn't been delivered to the Kohen if we have a Shutvis here? So his premise is that Sheva Kahuna is Shutvis. In that context, why consider it as Mamon Shein Lo Tovin? So he has to come up with a technical answer, which I don't know if that's correct. I mean, again, who am I to disagree with the Zosli Yehuda?
Well, Hebrew books has nine different authors for called Zosli Yehuda.
Is any one of them on Shulchan Aruch? One second.
I have one that's on Yeridea.
Oh, wait, just give me a second. Ah, Zosli Yehuda. Oh, he doesn't tell you. Oh, look at this. He says in the name of Rav Shimon Shkop. So he must be a contemporary. Now I don't know if you can look at that list and figure out which one is the contemporary. So Rav Mosi, you hear what he's saying? He's saying that there's no way that a conglomerate of Shutfim could claim Mamon if each one of the Shutfim is going to end up after the Chalukah with less than a Shavu Pruta. I don't know how he knows such a thing. Again, we'd have to read it in song. But that's his premise. Okay. So, Bosa, what I'd like to do now is the following. Let's go back to the Gemara for a moment. And you remember that the Gemara has a problem with Zar Shachal Truma. Where would there be Kimlei D'Ravine? It's impossible. Because the very moment that he lifts up the Truma, he makes a Kinyan, and he's not Mischayev Misa B'dei Shavayim until he eats the Truma. So Gemara says he never lifted up the Truma. Hachamai Askinon Kigon Shetochav Lo Chavero L'toch Piv. Right? This is the Gemara at the end of Daf Lamed Amud Beis. So what's going on here? My first question is, you know, I don't know, his good buddy, Chavero, I know he's first of all an accomplice to the crime, but more than that, I know, Lechora, he should be Chayv Bishum Gnev. I'm not exactly sure why the Tochev, if I could use that term, is completely parted from Gneva. And the whole thrust of the Gneva is on the Ochel. I don't know. That confuses my mind, but for that we have to learn the Tosis here in the Sugya. Right now I just want to go through a simple level. So let's assume for some reason the Tochev is out of the picture as far as Chiyuv Gneva is concerned. Now, if the Tochev didn't make a Kinyan Gneva, then who made a Kinyan Gneva? The Ochel. Now, let's try to analyze this. A man eats Truma, Zar eats Truma, correct? His kinyan is simultaneous with his chiyuv as a zar. Why? Because everything is b'shas achila. There was no agbah here from his perspective, and therefore everything is simultaneous b'shas achila. Now, as you know, there's a major machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about what is achila. And I'm trying to remember who says what here, maybe it'll come to me, but according to one opinion, it's Hanos Grono, and according to another opinion, it's Hanos Meov. So if I assume Hanos Meov, so you're only Chayev for, let's say, Nevela, or whatever the case may be, when the Macholas Asuris goes down the esophagus, right? That's called Anos Meov.
So the king is before that.
And the king of Lechor should be before that. Why?
When's the king?
Because the moment he puts it into his mouth, again, I don't know, is the mouth considered a chutz? I think, John, we once talked about this, no? Do you remember if we came to any definite conclusion about this? Or maybe some machlokas we showed him about this? Anyway, let's assume, again, I'm pretty sure this is going to be a hot issue in Hilchos Geneva, that the mouth itself is a chotzer. Now,
mouth also precedes the grunt. So it shouldn't matter whether it's grunt or meyav. Either way, the kinyan.
Okay. So you're one step ahead of me. But let's say the following. In terms of Gneva, there's no Hakbar here, right? Let's call him Shimon. Okay, we'll call him Shimon. So Reuven is the Tochev. And the moment that Shimon puts it into his mouth, he makes a Kenyan Gneva. But if you hold Hanas Meyav, then although he was Kona the Gneva by taking the object into his Rishus, but he doesn't incur a Chiyuv Misa until he swallows it. Now Yechiel is going a step further. Just one second, he's saying that even if I hold Hanas Grono,
same thing.
So what's Hanas Grono?
Past the mouth, I would say somewhere in the throat.
You swallow it.
The swallowing process. Yeah.
If you hold Hanas Meyav, then I would say that depends upon Blia. But if you hold Hanas Grono, then maybe, right? What the Gemara says in Afkaminim between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is if he eats a chatzi zayis of the veil, and then he spits it out and he eats the same chatzi zayis again. Right? So if you hold Hanos Grono, you're chayav because he had Hanos Grono of a full kizayis. If you hold Hanos Meyav, he only swallowed a half a zayis, right? That was the Afkaminim. What daf is in Chulin? It's Chulin is a gigantic masechta, so, but I think it's way later in Chulin.
So basically, it's talking about the taste. Basically, Blio Gromno talks about the taste. The
right, Gromno means the what do they call the buds, the taste buds? Is that what you call it?
So it's not really throat.
So even when it goes in its mouth, that's already.
Then there's a chiluk in this case. Okay, then I understand.
Right. So Yosef, what did you want to say before? I forgot.
No.
So again, do you hear what I'm saying? No, let's get the mechanics here. The mechanics is that somehow, once you cut out Hagbah, then the Kinyan of Gneva is simultaneous with the Chiyuv Bebolot Bebisu De Shemayim, and that assumes Hanas Grono. Okay, so Hanas Grono means the very moment he puts it into his mouth, he effectuates two things. Number one, he's Kone Bitaris Ganov, and he's Chayev for Zar She'ochal Truma. And we don't have to wait till the Beis HaBliya. But if you're going to tell me you have to wait till the Beis HaBliya is concerned, which means Anos Meor, then he's already achieved the Kinyan Chotzer.
It can't be simultaneous.
And it can't be simultaneous.
That's impossible.
Right. So that's what I wanted to say.
It has nothing to do with Hana.
Right. So in other words, if I was writing the Gemara, so to speak, I would say, Bishlema, this makes sense if you hold Hanas Grono, which I think is Reish Lakish's opinion, if I remember correctly. But if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that you need Hanas Meyav, then L'chor, it's not simultaneous.
Well, it's only liquid, he said,
right? Ah, it's liquid chametz?
You described it, that's only poured down a liquid truma. I mean, that's.
Oh, I didn't mean to say that. I just meant to say,
then why not say he poured it directly through the throat?
And could be your right. Could you be right? But well, I didn't get to that mandrega yet of liquid. There is liquid truma. Tirosh v'yitzar is both d'oraisa, which is oil and wine. So you're right. But I was just talking about a case of just circumventing the Hagbah. Right. What I meant to say, instead of lifting the piece of bread, he had someone else do the job for him, and that person put it into his mouth. I think, if I'm not mistaken, one second, I don't know if this is relevant, but I'm just thinking out loud, in Yom Kippur, everybody agrees to Hanos Me'ayim. Why? Because Yisuvei Daite. You remember the Gemara about Yisuvei Daite? At the beginning of the last parak of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says that the shear of V'nisem, to violate V'nisem, is not Kizayis, but it's Kikosevas Agasa, because of Yisuvei Daite. Meaning if you're very hungry, you're fasting, even if you eat a smaller amount, like a date, let's say, then it could be that that's enough to achieve Yisuvei Daite. In fact, the Gemara has a Havamina that Chatzi Shir Kuliyamalo Pligubi Asim and Atar Yom Kippur, because it could be Chatzi Shir is enough to be Miyashiv Daita. Also, so they say that Yishuv Adas depends upon Anos Meyo. You know, until the food goes down to your belly, you're still in a state of Inu.
That's painted on the background of the Ini Tempet Nashote Fem, which is different.
Exactly. When the Torah says Achilo, we're going to have a Machlokas, what constitutes Achilo? Is it the Hanos Grono or is it Hanos Meyo? But in the case of Yisuvei Daite of Inisem, everybody would agree that it's not a violation of Inui until it goes down your throat. So there are two definitions of Achila. There's your universal definition of Achila, and then there's the Inisem as a Din Mesuyam definition of Achila. And in Hilchus Yom HaKippurim, You're not going to be chayv until Yisuvei Daite. So if you chew something and spit it out on Yom Kippur, you would not be chayv on a derais level, I'm talking, for violating Vinisa, because you haven't filled up your belly. Oh, there's another nafkimin, I think, in Birkas HaMazon, according to some shitas, that everybody agrees that you need Hanos Me'ayim in Birkas HaMazon on a derais level, because it says, V'yachalta v'savata, and v'atz v'savata, only when it goes down. Until you get it into your belly, that's not considered svia. Right, that sense of svia cannot be achieved by chewing it and spitting it out.
Right.
So those are various cases of exceptions to the rule. If I'm not mistaken, there's also an interesting, I'm just some sofer about Suda Shabbos. That in Suda Shabbos, everybody agrees you need Hanos Me'ayim. Because he says that to be Koveya Suda, it's got to be a Suda that you feel satiated from. And the shear of Suda, I think, is more than the regular shear of Achila. Let's say if you hold an Achila Pokos Mikizayas, that might, according to some poskim, at least, that might not be enough for Suda Shabbos. You have to feel a sense of sphere. I don't remember all his riots, but he has, So what I wanted to show you here is what pages do you have? Do you have page Kuf Lamed Daled? Well, we didn't photocopy that. You know what? If you don't have Kuf, maybe this is not. Can somebody make a note that for tomorrow we'll take a look at Kuf Lamed Daled? If we can photocopy a few pages there, so we have a photo. So wait, what about Kuf Chav Zayin? That you have? I just want to... Yes?
Yeah, just did that today.
Okay, so I didn't know if you got Kuf Chav Zayin, but if you did, so that gives me a little bit more leeway on Kuf Chav Vav going over to Kuf Chav Zayin. Okay then?
Right.
So now we have a Rambam in Hilchus Chumos. I'm not sure if we have that on the table. But in any event, it's on the bottom of Kuf Chav Vav. And the Rambam writes, Zar Sha'ochal Truma Bezodon Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim. So this we know. All right, let's say there was Asrofa Malkus. Is the Rambam says v'lokal achilasa v'eino mishalim dmei masha ochal. So in the case of truma, let's say it was delivered to the kohen, so we can avoid all those complicated issues. You don't pay the kohen. Why don't you pay the kohen? Because it was Asrofa Malkus. And we have a principle, says the Rambam, of Eino Loke Umeshalim. V'yim Ochal B'Shogeg. So now we have no Malkus. Again, I'm a little bit confused why the Rambam had to say Shogeg. L'chori could have just said there was no Asra. Okay, the main thing here is that there's no Malkus. Is then Mosif Chomesh. In other words, he has to pay for the truma, and he adds a chomer. Shenemar ve'ish ki yochal kodesh bishkaga ve'yosaf hamishiso ola. Ve'yesh la'ayim ve'eiz the truma mayri hocha. We assume that the truma was already delivered to the kohen, but the Rambam didn't mention that. Maybe the Rambam assumes that, I don't know, but usually the Rambam qualifies. Even truma, if we expand the application of the Rambam to truma shel lo zocha ba adayna kohen, correct? Because zar shachal truma bezodon or bemeidim or shogig means he was mafresh the truma, and then he got confused and he ate it, or if he did it deliberately in the case of mezid. So it was never delivered to the kohen. So then, lechora, we should apply the principle of the haflah. And the haflah says that truma before it's delivered to the kohen is considered mamon she'ein lo tovin. V'dino kimazik matnas kohuna. If we equate truma with all the other matnas kohunas, which are defined and categorized in chulin as mamon she'ein lo tovin, we'll apply that yardstick to truma as well. Exactly the case that he's potter l'shalem, regardless of whether he gets malchus. So where the Rambam says that the reason why he's potter l'shalem is because he's chayev malchus. Ve'imayri b'truma shekvar zochabo kon l'chora ein chiv al malchus potro b'tashlum. Okay, this we didn't get to yet. Okay, then we have to photocopy another page here. Wait a second. All right, this is on Kuf Lamed Beis. So wait, what page did I tell you we're going to look at tomorrow? Kuf Lamed Daf. So maybe if you don't mind, we'll start from Kuf Lamed Beis. If you don't mind. So we'll have a little bit of a far for tomorrow. In any event, we're going to come to the conclusion, and again, we haven't proven that conclusion until we see this tomorrow, that Malchus does not pater Tashlumen of Gneva Ugzela. And the reason for that is because it's like Mamon Lezeh V'Misa Lezeh or Malchus Lezeh. In other words, the Rambam seems to assume, here let's read it inside, that Ibn Ischai of Malchus Mitzad Lav Acher, even in a case where he violated one Lav, and at the same time, no, it's not the Lav of Gzela, and at the same time, he incurred a chiyuv gneva. The lavim de gneva gzela hecha she'ena chefetz be'en chshiva lava nitan litashlumen. In other words, we're very, very tempted to assume that if the Rambam is talking about malchus and a chiyuv gneva gzela, then he's talking about a case of a lav acher. Because the Rambam wants to get Malchus, and the Rambam happens to hold the Gnei Gzela is a Lav Shembo Malchus, because it's a Lav Anita L'Tashlumen. Okay, for that we have to look at the Rambam in Sanhedrin.
When he says Lav Acher, what does he mean?
Okay, let's see if we can come up with a case. Let's say that he's stealing someone's object on Shabbos by taking it out into Rosh Hashanah. So he violates the Lav of Shabbos. Again, but he's looking for a chayve lav, so we'll have to say it was yontif. Oh, but yontif is hotzaz. All right, I don't know. Yeah, let's say koin to beit shammai. I don't know. I don't have a case right now. But let's say he violates a lav, and at the same time he incurs a chiyuv gneva. Correct. So let's say. Okay, so we're gonna actually. This would be good for our case in zar shachal truma.
Gneva itself is a lav, isn't it?
What?
Isn't Gnev itself a lav?
But he's trying to get a chiv malchus to knock off the tashlumen, and in the case of Gnev, there's no malchus because the lav and ethan l'tashlumen.
Okay.
So that's why Yosef was asking me, give me another case of a lav, but let's say Trumo would be a case of a lav, or Shabbos, Yontif, all these kinds of lav.
Maybe he ate a tray that belonged to somebody else. So he's
correct,
to
like the case of Chalev or like the case of Truma. So at the same time, he violated the Isur of Treif or the Isur of Truma, the Isur of Shabbos, whatever the case may be, and at the same time, he incurred a Chiv Gneva. Just one second, let me just get to the end of the paragraph and then just to get the facts on the ground. Oh. Hachol b'chaveiro b'yom ha-kippurim afilu b'mezid chayev b'tashlume shebeferish ribze Torah chovil b'chaveiro l'tashlume harei d'afilu heichad i'ika chiv malkis mitzad lav acher gam kein tzorech l'shalanim. Let me just get the flow here. So we started with the Rambam in Trumas, and the Rambam in Trumas says that a zar shachal truman and it was asro for malchus, he doesn't pay tashlumin because ain't a lokim mishalim. So the question now is, his chiyuv tashlumin here is for gneva, and the Rambam himself says that malchus does not knock off a chiyuv gneva. So why does the Rambam have to come on to the principle of eino loke u'mishalem, that since he's getting malchus, therefore he doesn't pay for the gneva? Why didn't the Rambam just simply say that malchus does not undermine a chiyuv gneva aveda, gneva gzela? So again, you want to underline the words of the Rambam here line 7 or whatever it is. The Rambam is really the ein malchus poter tashlumin shel gneva aveda. Again, let's just go over this mimonavshach. We don't know how to interpret the Rambam. If the Rambam's talking about lo zachar bar kohen, so we have the principle of momchein lo tovim. So what is the Rambam introducing a p'tur? Of ein alokim mishalim. What do you mean ein alokim mishalim? So he pays, right? So if not the malchus, he pays. What do you mean he pays? It's ein boli de kohen. So it's momchein lo tovim. Elo what the Rambam's talking about after he came lidei kohen. So why does the Rambam have to need ein alokim mishalim? He's potter because I'm sorry. How could the Rambam say that what? That if he gets malchus, he doesn't pay. Why? Because of the malchus. The Rambam himself holds that the principle of ein alokim mishalim doesn't apply in the case of a chiyuv gneva. Ulaficha yesh misha omer shebeemes mayri arama biochel truma shelozof b'chokoye. Ulam lo mayri b'mezid gomur elo mayri b'shkoga b'isur misa shel truma. He was unaware of the fact that Truma for Azar is an Isur Misa. That makes him a kind of a shogeg. He's not a full-fledged shogeg. He probably knew that he's not allowed to, he knew that ki yichalalu, but he didn't know ki mesubo. So he realized that he's not allowed to eat this Truma, and he violates a law, but he didn't realize the severity of the Isur, that it's an Isur of what? Of Misa B'nei Shamayim. So that's a sugya in Hilchos Shkagos. I mean, all of Hilchos Shkagos is in one parak in Masechta Shabbos. And there the Gemara says that if he's not aware of the Chumas Avera, he's considered a shogeg. The Gambit Truma, yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
That's a Hasara.
Right. The Gambit Truma, Shogag B'Misa, V'Hezid B'Lav, Sheba Mishalim Keren, V'Chomesh, Kishoge. So he does have the status of a shoge, even though he's aware of the lav. And now we go back to the Rambam. The Rambam says Zar Shachal Truma Bizadon is Chayev Misa Bidei Shamayim, and he might be potter from Tashlumin in the case with his malchus. But in Ochal Bishoge, is then he has to pay. And what's this case of a shogeg? That he's not aware of the chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim. Okay, so how does that help us over here? Lav sheba the misa b'makom kareis omedes the chomish makom karbon kai kevet shachiyuv mishum tashlum eitzum kishar shogeg is eino niftar mishum moment she'ein lo tovim. Why? Because that's a case of shgaga. Moshe is barley el mucha misni. Oh, that's the Mishnah in the sixth parak of Trumas. that there would be a chiyuv of keruv chomesh, not b'toras mama necessarily, but b'toras kapara. V'ulam kevet shaloka mishum shehezid belav da'achilus truma lizar is potem itashlum v'dein aloka mishalim. Wow. Do you hear what he's saying, Rabosa? He's saying that since he was aware of the lav, he's not a complete shkaga. And therefore, he will get malchus. Now, why is he chayv to pay tashlumin for the truma? And the answer is because he's a shogeg as far as the tashlume truma is concerned. And therefore, he would pay the Torah's kapara. And why is he shogeg? Because he's not aware of the chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim. And based on the Mishnah in Trumas, we're going to come to the conclusion that in the case of Shkoga, the Torah gave him the opportunity to avail himself of a kapara by paying. So the Rambam wants to know, in this case of Shkoga, should he pay? And the Rambam says, yes, he has to pay. Why? Because we're talking about Trumas Shaloi Giyadayim Liyad HaKohen. And you're going to tell me in such a case it's Mamon Shein Lo Tovin, but the answer is we're talking about a Chiv Mamon B'Toras Kapara, not B'Toras Choshen Mishpat. So this is the wild Ukimta of on the Rambam, and he writes that this is Reb Chaim Ozer, that the Rambam is talking about a case of a Zar Shachol Truma Shadayin Lo Zochabar Kohen. And if you'll ask me, so why should he pay for such a thing? It's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. The answer is that he ate it b'shogeg. And if he ate it b'shogeg, now, and again, this shogeg is not going to pater him from Malchus. Correct? Because the Rambam says that in the Reisha, he's going to be pater from Tashlumei Truma because he gets Malchus. So you see that whatever the case the Rambam is addressing, if we're assuming the case is that he knew that there's a lav, but he didn't know that it's a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim, in that case he gets malchus because he knows about the lav. He knows about the lav. Oh, so why do we give him a status of a shogeg? Not as far as Malchus is concerned, but as far as Tashlume Truma. And the answer is because he's a shogeg as far as Tashlume Truma, and so far as he's not aware of the fact that Tzar Sha'ochel Truma is Chayiv Misa B'dei Shamayim. Oh, so now you have to ask yourself the following question. Does he pay or does he not pay? Well, you're going to tell me it's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, and I'm going to answer to you, but he's a shogeg. And if he's a shogeg, we have the Mishnah in Trumas that the Tashlumin is not B'Toras Dine Mominos, because that's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, but rather B'Toras Kapara. Now, in this case, because he's a shogeg, there's no Malchus. So even though the Rambam in the Reisha says that Eino Loka Mishalim, that's in the case of Mazin, but in the case of Shkoga, where there's no Malchus, then he has to pay. And why is he paying? He's paying B'Toras Kapara, even though it's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. Had it been a case where the Truma would have been delivered to the Kohen, then we have another Rambam, again, which we're going to study in Mirsa Shem tomorrow, who holds that Malchus never pockets you up from a Chiyuv of Gneva Ve'Ugzela. And then this Rambam would make no sense whatsoever if the Truma was already handed over to the Kohen. Then in such a case, even though you're chayv malchus in the basic case, you would still have to pay the chiyuve tashlume gneva, and those are the words that we underlined in the Rambam Shmuley, the ein malchus poteres tashlume shel gneva v'ugzel. So how could the Rambam say that he doesn't pay for the truma ein aloke u'mishan? There's no Kimlei B'Ramini on the Malchus here to knock off the Chiyuv Gneva Aveda, which we have to understand why that's up, but that's for tomorrow. So Al Karchav, says Reb Chaim Ozer, we're forced to say that the Rambam is talking about a case of Loigia Liad Kohen, and the Tashlumin here, in the case of Shkoga, which is the safe of the Rambam, is based on the fact that although in Dini Mamonos it's Mamon Shein Lo Tovin, but as far as Kapor for Truma is concerned, he'd be Chayav. And that, my friends, is a summary of this paragraph, Ulefichach. In the next paragraph, he's not happy with this. Tzarech iyun gadol, he says. Shari Rambam siyam sham diyam ochal v'shogig mosif chomesh shenemar v'ish ki yochal kodesh v'shgoga mashpa t'mashpkos of liel minei deolcha v'zodon lomari v'achilas shgoga. Oh, I see what he's saying. If a kointer of Chayav Ozil, the Ukimta, this Rambam, is the case of a person who's not aware of the Chiyuv Misa B'dei Shamayim, and that makes him into a Shogeg, he's going to get Malkus in the Reisha because he's aware of the Lav. So the question now is, how could the Rambam say that Ochel B'Shgoga, Mosif Chomesh, it means that in the case that we're dealing with, of Ochel B'Zonon, it's not a case of Achila Shgoga, correct? That's the Feirush in the Rambam. So how can you tell me that he's a Shogeg? I'm not sure if that's such a kasha, because maybe you could say that the Rambam in the Sefer is qualifying and he's giving you a slightly different scenario where it's not a Shgoga. I'm sorry, where in the Sefer it is a Shgoga. Ah, but he wants to say that it's only a Shgoga that, but he knows about the Lav. Hence, since he knows about the Lav, there would be a kind of Kimle to the Ramine to say that the Malchus knocks off the moment. Ah, but the answer is there's no Mal. Ah, the answer is that he's a Shogeg. So he's asking a kash now in the Reisha. He's saying that if in the Sefer he's a Shogeg because of what? Of course, the fact that he's unaware of the Chiyuv Misa B'dei Shamayim. And in the case of Ochel B'Zodon, we're talking about an Achilas Mezid. Why would it be an Achilas Mezid? So I thought it's Achilas Mezid because he's aware of the Lav. I'll read it again. Sharia Rabbam Siyam Shabdim Ochla Bishgoga Mosif Chomesh Shenemar Ve'ish Ki Yochal Kodesh Bishgoga Mashma Demashim Kosovli El Minei, meaning back in the Reisha, Be'ochel Bizonon Lo Mairi Be'achilas Shgoga. Ah, which would probably mean that not only is he aware of the Lav, but he's even aware of the Chiyuv Misa B'dei Shamayim. Okay, we'll stop here at Vilulam. Can I borrow a pencil? Okay, thanks. And I just want to make a note of where we got up to. So if you can, let's write this down so we make sure. So we want to photocopy pages here. I don't know, does anybody? Kuf? Say it again, Lamed Bet? Gimel and Dal. Okay. You might as well add hey so it'll be an even number so we get it on two sides of the page. But we're up to Kuf Chav Zayin, the paragraph that starts V'Ulam. Right? So let me give this back to you.
So you said you wanted.
Oh, this is going to be. For, tomorrow is what, Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm just saying that it's going to start from Kuf Lamed Bet.
Yeah.
So you might want to add one more page so you'll have a.
Bet Gimel Dalet
Hay. Okay, great. Thanks. Okay. So you already have four pages.
If I could talk to you for a minute after that.
Sure.
Strange thought.